Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
God bless you, saints. Thank you so much for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We bless you in Jesus' name. We've been studying perfection through Christ. And I tell you, it's exciting. It's exciting what the Lord is revealing in these days that I believe is going to empower multitudes of Christians to stand up and take advantage of the fact that the Lord has provided for them to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. And brethren, we're going to shake the world. Not by our own might, but by His. He is restoring everything that's been taken from us. In the days ahead, it will be done. Glory to God. And one of them is this revelation of perfection that, you know, the worldly church rails against the idea that we can be perfect according to what the Scripture says. Now, we're not doing anything but reading the Bible. What these people are railing against is the Word of God. That's what they're doing. And we're going to kind of take up where we left off in Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to read verse 14, which says, "And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that in the good ground, these are they such as in an honest and good heart hold, having heard the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience." This word, they bring no fruit to perfection. Obviously, he is implying that that's the end result, is bringing forth fruit to perfection. And I did mention briefly in our last teaching that the common word for perfection is teleios, T-E-L-E-I-O-S, which means having reached its end, finished, complete, perfect. But this particular word is the only word in the Bible like this, and this is a perfect place for it, by the way. It's the word telespherejo, and it means to bring to completion or perfection with the end in view. To bring to completion or end in view. This is the key. This is the key to manifesting God's perfection. It's nothing that we in ourselves have any possibility of doing, but He's given us the key to take hold of His power so that He Himself is the one who perfects us. This key has been hidden for many generations, as it was, according to Paul, before him, many generations. We'll look at that verse. But it's being revealed again in these days. And I'm not saying it ever was snuffed out, but in large communities of God's people, it has been snuffed out for the last 2,000 years. Well, the key is the end in view. Seeing the end as something that God has already provided for you. You're accepting as a free gift the finished work of Christ. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, the Bible says. And matter of fact, that same verse, Hebrews 9 and 10 says, "By which will we have been sanctified through the offering up of the body of Christ once and for all." We also studied that sanctification is both by faith and it's by manifestation. And the Scriptures speak of both things. But then it says in verse 14, "By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." So he sanctified us and perfected us by that one offering up of the body of Christ. It's a done deal, folks. The Lord wants us to accept this free gift. We've been delivered from sin. We've been separated from the world. We've been perfected. That's what the Bible says. To deny that is to deny the gospel. And there are many Antichrist preachers out there that are doing just that. They're denying the gospel. They have a social gospel. Even though they look further down the totem pole and say, there's the social gospel, they've got a social gospel. Okay. Well, the end in view. We have to have the end in view to be able to partake of this kind of perfection. And that's exactly what Peter speaks about. Read 2 Peter chapter 1 with me just for a moment. Verse 2. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. There is a way in which we receive favor from God for knowledge. And here's some of the knowledge. Verse 3 says, seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue. Seeing that His divine power hath granted, it's already been given. We are seeing the end in view. We're accepting that He's already given us everything that we're ever going to receive. That He's already given it. And that what He's given to us is that life and godliness that comes through the knowledge of the gospel. Verse 4. Whereby He has granted unto us His precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. Now that's perfection, right? Of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world by lust, delivered from our sins, given over to the divine nature of Christ. And it's something He says He hath granted twice here. He hath granted it. It's already been given. We see it as done. We see it as accomplished. This is the key. This is what faith is. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. You know, Romans 4 teaches. And so He's telling us how to see in the Spirit here. It's easy to revert back to the flesh and see things the way they are, but we're not seeing the end in view. We don't have our eyes on the accomplished fact of what the cross gave unto us. Okay? And so He goes on to say, yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith. We have to be diligent to hold fast to the faith of the gospel, the Scripture tells us. So that God may present us spotless and blemishless, Colossians tells us. Right? We have to hold fast to the faith. And the faith sees the end in view. Okay? So, on your part, all diligence in your faith. Now, there's no comma behind diligence. The comma's behind faith, because you can't add anything on your part. This is all God's work. But you can be diligent in the faith that God has given unto you. See? So, the comma is actually supposed to be behind your faith. Supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this. For he that lacketh these things, do we lack these things? No, because he tells us in verse 3, seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all of this. Do we lack these things? No, we don't, because we receive them by faith. Right? Okay, this is the clue. I mean, many people are tormented by how they see themselves. But God's telling you to see yourself by faith. See? He's telling you to see that you have received His divine nature by faith, and that He's given you everything that pertains unto godliness, which is Zoe. That's God's life here, godly life, you know. And verse 9, For he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. In other words, if you think that you lack all this, you're blind because you're not seeing the end in view. You're not seeing what the Lord says he has given unto you freely. And there's no faith involved in your walk with the Lord. You're seeing your natural face in the mirror, as James 1 says. And James also said there that you'll be a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word, because you see only your natural face. You don't see the end in view. You don't, as we're commanded to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, with an unveiled face we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. We see the end in view. The end in view is Christ himself. He is the one who sowed the seed in our heart, as we studied in our last teaching, and that seed is his life. It's his sperma. It brings forth his life in us. But we see the end in view. And we see that these things, these attributes of Christ, have been given unto us. This is the gospel. This is the real gospel, folks. These attributes have been given unto us. He that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near. They don't see the end. They see very close, you know. And they see their natural face in the mirror, like James 1 says. Having forgotten the cleansing from their old sins. You know, people do revert back to walking by sight instead of by faith. They do revert back to seeing themselves as they are and being anxious and troubled because they want to please the Lord, but at the same time, they see their sinfulness and they get their eyes on their failures and they begin to stumble because they have no faith now. They're not seeing the end from the beginning like God taught us, you see. So they begin to stumble. Because they got their eyes on their failures and on their foolishness and on their sins. Truly, when you do sin, you just confess it. And he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, 1 John says. So you step right back into that position. You confess it, you forsake it, and you step back into that position with Christ, believing and seeing the end from the beginning. That he has given you his divine nature. And this is what we're told to see here in verse 3 and verse 4. And now he's telling you that if you don't have these things, you're blind. You're only seeing what's near. You're not seeing the end. This is the secret of Christianity, folks. It's faith. It's faith in a power that's far, far above us, God's power. It's faith in God who from the outside can reach into us and do as he pleases. If we give him this faith. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. So the Lord expects us to exercise our faith to partake of his divine nature. He expects us, like this word telesphorejo says, to bring to completion or end in view. In view. We have to see it the way God has stated it. If he said it, it settles it in our heart. This is what we're holding fast to. We're not going to turn loose of it. We fight the good fight of the faith. We cast down imaginations that come into our life. And we accept only what God says. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. The good news is that we've been given God's divine nature. We've been given his attributes. There's been an exchange made. Christ and his life and his benefits and his blessings have been given to us. And he's taken our curse and put it on the cross. And he's taken our sins and put them on the cross. So, good news, really good news. And God is restoring what was hidden in Colossians chapter 1. He tells us in verse 26, we read this last time, I'll read it again. He says, even the mystery which has been hidden for ages and generations, but now hath been made manifested to his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Well, how do we get Christ in us? Well, we do what Paul said. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that liveth in me. That's a confession, a good confession in the sight of many witnesses. It's a bold confession of the gospel. The Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, that we will have it, right? And that's what he says here, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The word hope here in the New Testament actually means a firm expectation. You're expecting the Lord to do what he said he would do. You expect it so much, you obey what Jesus said in Mark 11:24 when he said, all things you pray and ask for, believe that you received, past tense, them, and you shall have them. Receive them. Believe you received them. Because by that one sacrifice, we did receive them. See, everything you pray for has been accomplished by Jesus on the cross. And you're supposed to turn around and see that it's been done there. You have the end in view. That's how you bring forth fruit unto perfection. Because it's nothing that you and I can do. It has to be done by God Himself. But we can exercise faith in the good news that He's given unto us, which is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 28. Whom we proclaim in admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That we may present every man perfect in Christ. Whereunto I labor also striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. See, Paul's not taking any credit here. He said he labors striving according to God's working that works in him. And that's what happens when people walk by faith, is God stands up in them. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is a mystery that was hidden for generations until the apostles revealed it. And now, once again, God's people have fallen into the dark ages, they called them. Because the gospel, the real gospel, had been lost for so long. There's been a strain of people going all the way through those ages that held fast to the word and grew in God and were persecuted by the apostate church, as there will be in our day. But multitudes are coming back to the revelation of the gospel. They're finding out that they were lied to concerning what the Lord has done for them. They've tried and failed to pick themselves up by their bootstraps. They've tried and failed to be pleasing unto God of their own self-effort because they were not exercising any faith and were not getting any grace. By grace, have you been saved through faith? Have you been saved through faith? And that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. So, if you have that gift of faith working in you, be sure you're cooperating with God that he may bring you to perfection. Whatever the Bible calls perfection, which it calls also, it's been translated complete, finished. What is complete and finished? Well, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. He is complete and finished, the Son of God. And God, through him, is manifesting his sons in the earth today. And much more so, as we draw nearer to the end. Okay. Glory be to God. The good news, the great gospel. And I like especially what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Let me read that to you. Philippians 3. Let's see, where should we start? I'm going to start in verse 8. Yea, verily I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything is worthless compared to that, right? For whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. See, we need that imputed righteousness, that accounted righteousness from God because of our faith in the gospel. Do you believe that Jesus took away your sins and gave you his life? And that now you're not a sinner saved by grace, which is, the scripture doesn't say. You are a saint. You have been saved by grace. And you're claiming it by faith, right? The righteousness which is from God by faith. And that righteousness, by the way, is first imputed and then manifested. Just like everything you ask for by faith. When you're standing in faith, you don't see it. But everything you stand for by faith becomes manifested. Because Jesus said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. So there comes a manifestation. If you don't ever expect the manifestation to come, as some preach, that's just something that God's going to do for you in heaven in the sweet by and by, well, then you're going to get what you believe. Be it unto you according to your faith. See? Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death. So the Lord is bringing us through this conformity to his own death as we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. And the Bible says, Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. See, so God, through this faith, is bringing us through a conformity to his death and then a conformity to his resurrection power in this life. That's what he's saying here very plainly. Because he says in verse 11, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead, resurrection here is a word that's only used in this text in the whole Bible. This is the only word for this that's used in this way. It means the out resurrection from among the dead. We are truly being resurrected, like Paul spoke about, in spirit, from among the dead around us. They are dead in their sins, the Bible says. And we are being resurrected from among the dead to enter into the resurrection life of Christ as we continue to believe that his life is the life that now lives in us. That faith is accounted as righteousness, and it brings righteousness. Okay. And then verse 12, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect. So he says very plainly that what he's talking about is becoming perfect in this life. He was talking about it while he was standing there with the disciples, you see. Or am already made perfect. But I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Why did Christ lay hold on us? For perfection. That's what he just got through saying very, very plainly. Now, don't sell the Lord short. Don't sell yourself short by disagreeing with God's word. Because if you depart from his word, you won't have the benefits of it. And this is the gospel. The Lord perfected us with one offering. It's our gift. We need to hold fast to it until God brings it to pass. This completion, this maturity in Christ, this Christ walking in us is the end result of this. You see, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold. In other words, he's not saying that this is manifested in his life. Paul's not saying, I am perfect manifestly. He's saying he's perfect by faith. He is claiming this gift that can't be seen yet in his life, but is being manifest as he holds on to it, you see. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on towards the goal, unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ. What is it? It's perfection. He just got through telling us what it is. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. The mirror. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. That's a bold confession of the faith of the gospel that the Lord is able to bring to pass. Let us therefore as many as are perfect. So he just said, I'm not claiming that I've arrived or that I've manifested perfection, but I am claiming that I am perfect by faith, you see. Let us therefore as many as are perfect be thus minded. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. See, when you walk by faith, you could be missing some things. But if you're walking by faith, he's the one that's your Savior. He's the one that's going to bring it to pass. He can never fail you if you're walking by faith. He never will. This also shall God reveal unto you. Only whereunto we have attained, by that same rule, let us also walk. Oh, thank you, Father. This is awesome. And then Romans chapter 6, basically, I think is a good answer for that. Romans 6 and 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away. Notice, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away. Do you want the body of sin to be done away? Do you want to be delivered from the bondage of sin? Well, then you have to know this, that your old man was already crucified. You don't live anymore. You were crucified with Christ, right? So that we no longer be in bondage to sin. It's God's plan that we don't live in bondage to sin. I don't care what the preachers have told you. I don't care what the Antichrist gospel has been shared with you. This is the true gospel. And this is how faith, that miraculous substance of the things that we hope for, this is how faith works in our life. You believe what God says. You hold fast to what God says. He'll take care of bringing it to pass. Okay. And also verse 11. Even so, reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Are you dead to sin? Well, of course you are. You were crucified with Christ. How could you be anything else? That's how faith works. Old people pick on the name it and claim it people. We're not naming it. God's naming it. We're claiming it because it is the good confession. The word confession means to speak the same as. If God says it about you, you'd better say it too. You'd better agree with Him. How can two walk together except they be agreed? The Bible says. How can you walk with the Lord if you're not agreeing with Him? Okay, you're not definitely not a disciple, a learner and a follower. Reckon yourselves to be dead in sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lusts thereof. In other words, faith is a way of deliverance from the bondage of sin. Let not sin therefore, meaning in this way, reign in your mortal body. The Lord has delivered us. How could we confess anything else but the good news, the gospel, you see? And we're told in verse 18, and being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Made free from sin. Why are they determined to make you out to be a sinner when the Bible says He was the Lamb of God who took, past tense, away the sins of the world? Do you believe it? Do you believe that that the Lord Jesus bore away your sins and now you are the righteousness of God in Christ? Will you confess the good news of the gospel? Will you hold fast? Will you continue to fight the good fight of faith? That's the only question. It's already been accomplished. You can't talk Him out of it. But you can give it up, you see. And verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification. The fruit unto sanctification. Well, by one offering, He has already sanctified us. But we're supposed to bear the fruit of that sanctification, you see. And this is what He says. You have that too. You claim that. You receive that unto yourself. God will manifest it in you, you see. We have to call the things that be not as though they were. And so we're seeing, we're telos phareho. We are seeing the end in view. We claim that is our vision. We see that His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We see that as done. We praise God that it's finished. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. And I like 1 John 3. Let me read that to you concerning that. 1 John 3, 2 and 3 says, beloved, now are we the children of God. The word is technon here, not huios. Technon meaning children. It should be translated children. It is in other places, even in the Bibles, that put sons here. It is not talking about sonship here. It's talking about manifestly what you are. Beloved, now are we the children of God, is not yet made manifest what we shall be. Well, we know what we're claiming from what we've already read. We know what we're claiming. We're beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord. But he says here, it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, the word is definitely if there in the ancient manuscripts, the numerics, even the received text, the word is if. Because it's not talking about the physical coming of the Lord, it's talking about the coming of the Lord in his people. Him being manifested in you. That's what it's talking about. We know that if he shall be manifested, and the word manifested here is phaneru. It means to make visible, to cause to shine. See, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. It's like a light bulb in you, folks. He's turning up the glory, the light, the brilliance. It's being manifested in you, you see. As you believe the gospel, it's being manifested in you. We know that if he shall be manifested, that is in us, we shall be like him. For we shall see him even as he is. Wow, there it is. Seeing the end from the beginning. The people who see him as he is, not another Jesus. Can you imagine beholding in a mirror another Jesus? And you're transformed into that image. Well, that's what happens every day in thousands of churches around the world. They're painting for you the picture of another Jesus, and you're admiring that picture. And you're coming into that image. That's sad. The truth is, only the Word of God can bring forth the real, true Jesus. Paul complained about another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit, didn't he? Okay, because that's what comes forth when you got another Jesus. It's another gospel and another spirit. For we shall see him even as he is. We shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself. Do you have the hope of seeing him even as he is? Are you coming to completion because you see the end in view? Telos pherejo, right? Everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So we have something to do in this. We have to cooperate with God in this process. And how pure is this? Even as he is pure. Can God do that? The question isn't, can we do that? The question is, can God do that? People are not questioning themselves. Salvation don't come from us. They're questioning God. They don't believe God can do this. The unbelieving preachers, they don't believe God can do this. So they don't preach the gospel that is the power of God to save people. Again, they end up with a social gospel that doesn't do anything but make people feel self-righteous because, well, they're Christians. They go to church. They're this branch or that branch or whatever, you know. But, hey, the Lord wants us. This has got nothing to do with religion, folks. This has to do with the real, true Christianity that was once laid down. The Bible says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, it has nothing to do with the religions that have popped up like the Pharisees' religions popped up, you know, perverting and distorting God's word and making and glorifying themselves, you know. But that's what's happened. History just keeps on repeating. That's what's happened. So, we're talking about now the manifestation of perfection that the Lord has given unto us. That's what we're talking about. You know, I like especially what Ephesians says concerning that. If you turn there with me in verse 14, chapter 3 and verse 14. Listen to this. You that don't believe in perfection because you don't know the power of God. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. Notice, with power through His Spirit in the inward man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Notice he's talking to Christians. Some Christians say, well, Christ came into my heart. Well, are you sure you didn't just receive the Spirit of Christ? Because when Christ is in your heart, he's manifested in your life, in your nature, you see. And now, what he's saying is that his Spirit in the inward man will strengthen you so that Christ will be manifested in your heart. This is the glory of God that he's talking about. Through faith, to the end that you being rooted and grounded in love may be strong to apprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now that's a mouthful, so I'm going to back up again here. He says that you may be strong, verse 18, to apprehend. The versions that say comprehend have not translated the original word at all. Now, it's not there. Comprehend is not there. It's not in the ancient manuscripts. It's not in the numeric pattern. It has no right in the scriptures. Because it's not just understanding what God has done. It's apprehending what God has done. That you may be strong to apprehend. That means manifest what God has given unto you, right? May be strong to apprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of what? Apprehend everything that Christ is. The breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ. So apprehend all that he is, including his love. Which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now, folks, most religions, most ministers do not offer to us the hope of being filled with the fullness of God. In fact, they avoid this verse, and a lot of verses like it. And they avoid the dozens of verses that we've been looking at concerning perfection, because they claim there's no perfection. They've never read their Bible. They've never read their Bible, and they're denying God's people the benefits of the kingdom because they're not sharing with them the gospel because they don't know it themselves. It's exciting. The gospel's exciting. God's giving us a free gift of his own life through faith in what he has already proclaimed, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now listen. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now he said, I pray that you may be strengthened with all power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. It's God's power working in us. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Unto him be the glory, folks. It's his power. It's his gift. It's his power. It's his faith. But God is offering us this faith daily. I mean, even if you know this revelation, you can forget it. You can start being gravitating back towards the thoughts of the old man, the natural sight, the feelings, instead of holding fast what you're supposed to confess by faith. You can start gravitating back. No. So God is able to do exceedingly abundantly anything we can think of. Does that include perfection? Well, I hope it's not abundantly above what you can think of, because we're discovering what the scripture says here. We're discovering that God has given us perfection, and that if we hold on to it, he will give it to us. And Paul is not through, because in Ephesians 4, he basically teaches this again. In verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Now there's one reason the saints aren't being perfected right there. The Nicolaitan error that God said he hated. Folks, the pastor is not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The head of every man is Christ, not the pastor. Okay? The Bible doesn't teach the Nicolaitan error, which means to conquer the laity. It was a priestly order, somebody between you and God, somebody that did your work for you, you know, and somebody that brought you to God. Okay. Now, there's no one-fold ministry in the Scriptures. There's a five-fold ministry in the Scriptures. Okay. And he says it takes the five-fold ministry to perfect us. So if you're listening to one man who doesn't have that gift and God doesn't give that gift to just one man, then you're missing out on something. Okay? Even these preeminent apostles believed that there needed to be the rest of the fivefold ministry to do this job, which God is raising up in these days, folks. I'm telling you, he's going to raise up again the fivefold ministry. So for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering. Isn't that neat? So the Lord doesn't want us to be perpetual students, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants us to be ministers for him in different capacities. I'm not saying he's calling us all to be elders, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, but he's calling us all to minister for him in the capacity that he's put us. And minister here means a servant, right? For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain unto the unity of the faith. Folks, that's coming. He said, Jesus said, there'll be one flock, one shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. That just lets you know he's dragging his people once again out of the apostate denominations, just as Jesus did in his day. He drew them out of the apostate denominations of Judaism, and today he's doing it, dragging them out of Christianity by his grace. So, into this unity. One flock, one shepherd. And he said, till we attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man. Now, that's the word teleos. It's the word perfect. Unto a perfect man. Well, some say, well, David, he's not talking about us individually being perfect. He's talking about the body being perfect. Well, stop and think, folks. A body cannot be perfect if one of its members is not. You understand? So I mean, how can a body be perfect if it's got an imperfect member? That's not a perfect body. So, no, he's talking about both here, you see. Till we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown or a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're growing up to the fullness of Christ. We individually, 2 Corinthians 3:18, behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. The Lord ordained that he would live in us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. That was, he left an individual body in order to come back in a corporate body in order to minister to the whole world. And that process has been thwarted by a bunch of people that don't believe the gospel and their leaders, just as it was in Jesus' day. History continues to repeat, folks. History always repeats. And God's judgments do too. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. That we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, in craftiness, after the wiles of error, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. We grow up into him. We grow up into his headship. We grow up into his perfect lordship over our life, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is what we're growing up into. This is the expected end that we're supposed to have in view, so that we may go there. You have to see it before you go there. If you've got a perverted Jesus, you can't go to the real Jesus. You have to see the end in view. See, we read the Scriptures to find out who Jesus really is. I challenge you, in the name of Jesus, that if you've been sitting in a religion and you haven't been growing, you go home and read your Bible and find out who Jesus really is, and believe everything you see there. Don't let them tell you any of it's passed away, It's an eternal gospel, the Bible says, and it hasn't passed away. It's all still true. All of it. And if they've told you that, they've done it in order to rob and plunder you of your benefits in Christ. Grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth, according to the working in due measure of each several part, maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Praise God. Well, it doesn't sound to me like God is denying us the perfection. It sounds to me like very plainly that it's His plan. And His plan is quite frankly being thwarted by a lot of people that don't know, don't understand. Why would, for instance, Jesus command us to be perfect? You know, Matthew 5 and 48. If there is no perfection, how can He demand it? Ye therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And of course, He tells you what perfect is in the text. You know, love your enemies, turn the other cheek, love them, so on and so forth. My point is, Jesus said, you therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How can He demand perfection if it's not something that He's giving? And if it's not something that can be attained to by His grace, by His power, through His faith? Well, people that don't believe in perfection, they must think Jesus really just missed it here, right? That He must not have known what He was talking about, or He was out of His mind, or He was beside Himself. Some people say, you know, beside Himself. And Paul said the same thing. Be ye perfected. You know, 2 Corinthians 13 and 11. Be perfected. Well, both of them were in agreement on this, to command us to be perfect. You see, it's something that the Lord has provided and given to us. And we do need to obey that command. We do have the authority to partake of perfection. We have the authority. You know, when the disciples failed to cast out demons, they turned to Him and He said, they complained, you know, why didn't the demon come out? Lord, He said, because of your unbelief. They had the authority to cast out that demon. He only rebuked them when they had authority but wouldn't take it. He didn't ever rebuke them for not doing something that they could not do. That would be ludicrous. So why here is He commanding us to be perfect? Because it's something that we can do. Would you command any of your children to do something that they could not do? Well, you would think, of course not. But yet, you would think that Jesus would do that? No way. Jesus wasn't into condemnation. When He rebuked His disciples, it was for something that they could do but weren't doing. And Paul the same way. Be ye perfect, he said. Be ye perfect. Jesus commanded perfection. So it's something that is attainable because it is commanded. And Matthew 19, I think, was probably a pretty good verse we can look at. 19 and verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wouldest be perfect, go and sell which thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, one reason a lot of people don't understand this verse is because they just don't believe it. You have to believe it before you can understand it. But notice, if you want to be perfect, there are some things that the Lord commands you to do. There's some things He will demand of you. He will demand you to give up your life in this world and follow Him as a disciple. If thou wouldest be perfect, go sell that which thou hast. In other words, this young man here had a lot of things that were distracting him from the kingdom. In fact, they were his God. Because when Jesus told him to do this, he couldn't do it. He was in idolatry. As much as he had sought to earn the benefits of the kingdom by keeping all the, because further on, earlier in the text, Jesus pointed out to him which laws he was supposed to keep there, which of the Ten Commandments he was supposed to obey. He says, I've observed these from my youth. Well, what else do I lack? Well, if you're going to be perfect, then you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You need to do what you're demanded. You need to give up this idol. You need to give up this distraction. Remember, back where we were in Luke 8, one of the problems was Verse 14, and that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and yet, and they go on their way, they are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. One of the biggest problems is distractions in a prosperous society is the distractions of the world. The biggest problems. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and deny ourselves. Some people don't think that Christ calls us to deny ourselves. If you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. Do you really want to be perfect? Well, as far as I'm concerned, there is no choice. It's eternal life with perfection, and or it's corruption that's offered down here in separation from God. There's, as far as I'm concerned, we need to be like Luke 10, I think, would be a good example. Verse 38, now as they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. Sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, for Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, in seeking first the kingdom, this is something that will not be taken away from us. And, you know, many people are ruled by the norms of society, what is right to do and what's wrong to do. And, of course, we'll do right when the Lord works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. But if we sit at the Lord's feet until He sends us to serve, we'll be serving Him. There are many people running around serving, and they think they're serving the Lord. But He says there's only one thing that's needful, and it's something that will never be taken away from you. You know, the religious world, they love to get you into service for God, because then you'll be so busy you won't have time to seek Him for yourself. You know, and that's not the will of the Lord. Remember what Jesus commanded. He commanded that we get the board out of our eye so we can see clearly to get the mote out of our brother's eye. First, He wants us to get right with Him. He wants us to sit at His feet and serve Him. And then He can use us. He can use one submitted servant of God more than 10,000 lukewarm people. And what this person will be doing is the will of God. Many people do more or less the will of God, you know. But we're learning to do the pure will of God as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, right? That's how we come into the understanding of what is the perfect will of God. Romans 12 and 2, right? Is presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice unto Him. Serving Him with all of our heart. Not being distracted by society, social norms, whatever. You know, the Lord has accomplished all this for us so that we can rest in Him. You know, it's not anxiety. It's not struggle. It's not striving. If you shove a seed into the ground, that seed is powerful. It's powerful to break that heavy ground and to bring forth the fruit. It's quite natural. You know, it doesn't have to struggle. It's a natural thing. And the thing is, Christianity is a natural entering into His rest. He does the work in us. And that work will not be found fruitless, because the Lord is going to finish the good work He started in us until the day of Jesus Christ. We need to put our faith in His promises and our faith in His word. Take it out of trusting in men. Just rest in the truth that He speaks. Don't question it. Don't question His word at all. God bless you, saints. Thank you for being with us, and we'll do it again sometime. God bless you.
information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
My thirsting soul, pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus. Trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, sacred heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus. Thank you.